Next item, 1085.
Amend inclusionary housing code to make technical corrections to the floor area ratio requirement for a tax exemption as designated in the zoning code.
Director Callahan, welcome back. Matt, good to see you.
Mayor and Commissioners. We are here to bring a minor technical correction to the Inclusionary Housing Program. As you know, we are constantly examining this program and making sure that we have it correctly calibrated. And we are bringing a minor amendment to the program which deals with the base FAR and the ability to get a full tax exemption. With that, I'm going to turn it briefly over to Assistant Director Matthew Schibold to walk you through a couple of the finer points of the changes.
So given the time, I'm just going to focus on this slide. And the original calibration of the inclusionary requirement with the incentives focused when construction reached 5-to-1 FAR or above, given that it would most likely trigger a higher cost of construction, the full property tax exemption on all residential improvements in a building was offered. The way we were at the code at the time was that if the base zone was 5-to-1 or greater, that the project would be eligible for the full tax exemption. What we have learned from feedback from industry stakeholders since the adoption is that there are a number of locations in the central city, and you see a map of the FAR there on the screen, where the base FAR may be below 5-to-1, but with transfers or bonuses, the developer is able to actually construct a project above 5-to-1 FAR. So we're making a change to the language in our tax exemption code in order to stay true to the original policy nexus of the program calibration, and that if a development is at 5-to-1 or greater, that with this change they would be able to receive the full property tax exemption.
Director Callahan, I've done a number of brown bag lunches recently with law firms for the purpose of advocating for some ballot measures. Mm-hmm. And in the course of those meetings, when the conversation opens up to broader city issues, mm-hmm. I've often been asked about the city's inclusionary housing policy mm-hmm. and whether we're going to make some adjustments so that it works better. And it occurs to me that and the answer I always give is, yes, we are listening to our key stakeholders, and we will be making adjustments as we go along. My question to you is, how do we do a better job of making sure that the development community understands the fine-tuning that we are doing, like today? I noticed there's nothing in the materials before council that has any letters of support from the development community, and I'm likely to get the same question at the next brown bag. What are you doing on inclusionary housing? Is it working? And how are you working with the folks that are investing in housing? So what can we do to make sure that there's better communication with some of our key stakeholders?
Thank you, Commissioner, for the question. We just have released an 18-month review of inclusionary housing, which also talks about the next steps for refinements that the city is considering. We have sent that out broadly through the development community and with some of our partners, for instance, at I believe Smart Growth America, formerly known as Locus, and I think actually you will hear from Gwen Baldwin in a few moments to talk about this policy in particular, but making sure that we are regularly communicating about next steps is going to be important. We have just taken over the responsibility of reporting on inclusionary housing from the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability and want to increase our efforts to communicate with developers in the private market. Just to give you a quick example of what you have seen in the 18-month report, this is a map actually of where all the inclusionary housing units are located in the city with the little white building icons. And then the black arrows are actually where there are early assistance permits. So some of these units are actually in the permit process, and some of these units are coming on. Not to say that our early success doesn't mean we're going to continue to recalibrate and look at this program. As I said at the outset, Commissioner, we all knew this was not a static program. It needs to be responsive to what's happening with current market conditions.
So the other piece of that I would urge you to consider is, again, in the course of some work I've done recently in briefing editorial boards on some ballot measures, I also was struck by some of the persistent critiques that linger, and along the lines of the success of this program, the extent to which we're developer friendly in our and how we interact with people through the Bureau of Development Services and things like that. So if you do have reports and updates of this stuff, I would urge you to also consider sending them along to the editorial boards.
Thank you.
Keep people with cover notes, because it's an ongoing job of educating people about the process we're engaged in. Doesn't mean they're going to necessarily give us any credit for the work, but I think there's a big gap in terms of understanding the amount of outreach we're doing and the fine-tuning we're doing. I think that's useful information that we ought to share with more people.
Thank you, Commissioner. Very helpful suggestion.
Were those unit numbers you just showed affordable units, or are those the total units associated with those?
It's the total number of projects and total units.
Okay.
We're seeing the number of inclusionary units sit at about 15% of the total units.
Okay. So there's 362 inclusionary units, meaning units that will be affordable to households making 80% or 60% of median income, but they represent a larger number of actual units that are coming online fully in the market. So we show you both to make sure that you have an understanding of how many buildings and what's actually happening in the development community overall.
Thank you.
Does that complete your presentation?
It does, Mayor.
Great.
Thank you
very much. Is there a public testimony on this item, Carla?
Yes. I show two people, Maggie and Gwen Baldwin.
Very good. Come on up.
Tax exclusion for nonprofits, quote-unquote nonprofits, right, for their buildings?
No.
No.
What is this one about again? I was in the bathroom.
These are technical corrections to the Inclusionary Housing Code.
Oh, okay.
Do you want to hear what Gwen says, and maybe that'll help?
Yeah, go ahead.
Very good. Go ahead, Gwen.
Thank you. Gwen Baldwin here today representing Oregon Smart Growth as Director Callahan. Congratulations. Noted earlier, we were formerly known as Oregon Locusts. We are a coalition of developers, investors, and allied professions who are committed to livable, walkable communities. And that means making the most of each opportunity to bring units forward that are in high opportunity areas like Central City. And in this particular case, I definitely want to give credit to the Housing Bureau for hearing the feedback we had and the concerns, where if you get to that threshold point where you have to build a more expensive type of form, a high rise or a podium that uses a lot more steel, it's a more expensive form. And often you can get to that with the 3-to-1 bonus that is a part of inclusionary housing at much lower base FARs. And so it's really important to make the most of each opportunity. This I will note, does not change the heights that are on each of these properties, but it simply allows the full offset package to be available in these more expensive forms.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thanks for being here.
You're welcome.
Okay, so is this the inclusionary housing where the government found that they weren't meeting their...
No, ma'am, it isn't. It isn't. It's a mandate that requires a certain set aside of affordable units in private market development in exchange for some incentives.
And it used to be preempted
by the legislature, and we lifted the preemption. The city now has implemented it, and it's a mandate in private sector development.
Okay, and they didn't meet their quota? In other words, they didn't get the number?
No, it has nothing to do with quotas. It has to do with fine-tuning the specific requirements of the program.
Okay. I don't think they met their quota of low-income housing that they were supposed to offer up.
No. Okay.
Thank you. Very good. Any further questions? Gwen, thank you. Please call the roll.
You, Daly.
Well, thanks for bringing this item forward. And I'm excited to see the numbers starting to come through. As we know, there was a mad rush to get permits in before we implemented our inclusionary housing rules, and a lot of developers have told us that it's not penciling out, but apparently some of them have figured out how to make it pencil out. So I vote aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Wheeler.
Aye. The ordinance is adopted. Thank you.